Hey now, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. What is going on? Nice to have you here. All right, so I'm looking at some breaking news right now. That's why I took a beat to take a look at things. Let me lay out the program for you. It's going to be a great Friday. And make sure you go hard. Make sure you come strong. Make sure you go into the weekend. And whatever it is you do on a Friday night, you happy hour, you go out, whatever it is, or the weekend itself, man, make sure you earn it. Leave it all out there. Not to be corny, but TGIF, the grind does include Friday. No days off. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. The program today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience.
Rocket.
No days off. Even the hood knows it. All right, so the phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. In fact, that'd be a smart thing to do. Also, hit me up on email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So why is today awesome? Let me tell you about what we got going. Coming up, next segment. An old pal is joining the program. Arash Markazi. My man Arash is on the program for the first time in a long time. I love Arash. I go way back with Arash. In fact, everybody loves Arash. Arash is one of the most popular guys in our business. The reason you have not heard him on the show in a while is because he went over to ESPN. ESPN's not very good about sharing their guests with us. Just fact. I mean, I'm not bitter about that at all. I really don't give a damn. I mean, I want to help you. I could help you. And why wouldn't you do it? But anyway, that's their policy. And I've got a lot of friends who work at ESPN because I used to work at ESPN. I worked at ESPN twice. I worked at ESPN for more than 10 years. I have a lot of friends over there. Arash was one of them, but he now is a columnist for the LA Times. And given that Arash was an LA guy, that's an amazing thing. So Arash Markazi joins me next segment. Marcus Howard is a Marquette grad. He joins me at the top of hour number two. And then a really unique, special experience right after that. WWE Tag Team Superstars, the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson.
Brothers.
Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, not only on the show, but in studio. Too sweet. The Good Brothers in studio in hour number two. And they will take your telephone calls. Lots to talk about. 1-800-636-8686. And I want to start with the disaster that is the New Orleans Pelicans. What a night they had. What a night for the NBA and what a night they had. Let me start right there. So the first half of the NBA season came to a close yesterday. And it was a really weird close in the sense that New Orleans beat up on Oklahoma City 131-122. On the surface, nothing weird about one NBA team beating another. But it's a game where New Orleans lost Anthony Davis to a shoulder injury. And it's a game where Russell Westbrook had a 44-point triple-double. And yet the Pelicans win. Absolutely nothing made sense about that. And when you look at the NBA right now, it makes perfect sense, right? Because nothing makes sense. How the hell does OKC, which had been quietly building a case as a Western Conference dark horse, lose by 9 to the Pelicans? And how do they lose by 9 to the Pelicans on a night where Russ had his 11th straight triple-double and 44? I mean, seriously, how does that work? And not only did they lose, but they lost to a team that's currently right in the middle of a dumpster fire, which incidentally, a few minutes ago, just got worse. They're in the middle of a dumpster fire. Not my words, but the words of Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry, which I'll get to in just a second. But first, what the hell happened with Anthony Davis? Right at the end of the first half, he went up to contest a shot from Nerlens Noel. He appeared to injure his shoulder, and he left the game.
Looks like an injury situation for AD.
Yeah, exactly right. If you go back to a play that just about the end of the second quarter there, you see AD favoring his left shoulder. See the left arm hanging there? And, of course, he did not return to the bench. Of course, he is supposed to be heading off to Charlotte to represent the Pelicans in his sixth All-Star Weekend appearance. But for tonight Anthony Davis is finished.
Man, there's so much to unpack there, and it gets worse with the breaking news, which I'll get to in a minute, but that's a nightmare scenario for the Pelicans, which would have been the only reason to move him before the deadline, which I will get to in a minute, with news involving Dell Demps. That would have been the only reason to move him before the deadline. I want to be very clear about this. Dell Demps did the right thing by not moving him. Dell Demps handled that exactly the way he should have and the way I would have if I was in his position. The only caveat was, the only risk in not moving Anthony Davis and waiting for the summer is he might get hurt and he might hurt his trade value. And that's what happened last night. However, the really weird thing was not that he got hurt, but that he left the arena. Yet that's not good. And not the injury, but because he just got dressed and left during the game. Because apparently the injury is not that bad. Reports this morning indicate it's a muscle contusion. But the fact that this guy changed and was seen leaving the arena in regular clothes while the game was still going on is a bad, bad look. And as weird and as ugly as things have been between Davis and the Pelicans, they were about to get even more weird and even uglier. Leaving the game with an injury is one thing. Leaving the arena with an injury is another thing. Look, I'm no authority on the code. I never played in the NBA. But I'm going to go ahead and guess that that's kind of against the code, to change out of your uniform and leave the arena during a game. And if you're leaving the building with an injury during the game, man, it better be on a stretcher. Or it better be like Paul Pierce in a wheelchair and then come back a few minutes later. If you're leaving the arena during a game, man, it better be on a spine board. And not after changing your clothes. That's a bad, bad look. That's a bad decision. But wouldn't you know, because they're so desperate to keep this guy, that it wouldn't fall on him? And it didn't. Which I will get to in a minute. But I don't know what went into Davis's throwing on his regular clothes and leaving while that game was still going on. Maybe we'll hear more about it. Maybe he had a good reason, but I can't imagine what it would be. It's a bad look. And a bad look for a guy who's always had an amazing reputation. What was the thinking behind him leaving? Did he have a plane to catch to get to Charlotte for the All-Star game? Was it because they didn't have an MRI machine in that facility? Did he need to get an MRI? And does it mean that we're now about to get into a Kawhi v. Spurs situation where Davis and the team have a dispute about the severity of the injury? And he ends up playing hide-and-seek from the team. You know, like Kawhi did, allegedly, when the Spurs came to visit and check on him, and they couldn't find him. Are we a few days away from AD's guys stuffing him into a trash can and wheeling him out of a building so the Pelicans can't get in touch with him? It seems like the team feels that way. It seems like ownership feels that way. Because ownership reportedly just fired Dell Demps. That just went down before the show started. And again, I'll get to that in a minute. But let me just say, this was Alvin Gentry's response before Dell got fired and after the game.
Looks like an injury situation for AD.
Yeah, exactly right.
Anyway, Alvin.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job. Don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won. Hey guys, I'm going to talk about the guys that played. They did a great job. We found a way to win the game. That's what's important.
There you have it. I mean, Alvin Gentry was not taken up for the guy who left the building. He said, I'm here to talk about the guys that played the game. I'm here to talk about the guys that won the game. I'm here to talk about the guys that sucked it up and beat a good Thunder team. His guys. The guys who were in uniform, the guys playing in that game, just played a hell of a game, and yet he's got to answer questions about a guy who didn't play in the second half and just left the arena. Instead of talking about Julius Randle and his 33 points, 11 board double-double, to go along with 6 assists, or Drew Holiday having 32 points and 7 assists and great defense on Paul George, he's got to answer questions about Anthony Davis. Of course, Gentry was pissed. It's a credit to him that the guys who stayed, that they didn't quit and didn't mail it in. So with Davis leaving the arena, that dumpster fire had a train wreck slammed into it. And then it got worse this morning with a report from Woj and Bleacher Report that Dell Demps has been fired. Let me tell you something about that now. I understand ownership is pissed about Davis leaving. I understand they're pissed that they've been put in this position. But the answer is not to fire Dell Demps. Demps put them in a position. This guy handled the trade deadline perfectly. He put them in a position to get a battle between LA, Boston, and whoever gets the number one pick. Not doing that would have been asinine. Why should he have traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers? What were they offering him? Really? A chance to reunite the 27 Lakers. That would have been such a reckless move. That would have been such a panic move. I mean, but Demps is getting jammed here. This is not his fault. Should he have taken that package from the Lakers just to avoid Davis leaving the arena? He didn't know the guy was going to get hurt. He didn't know the guy was going to get dressed and leave in the middle of the game. Unless there's something we don't know here. Because it looks like they're firing Demps because Davis left the arena in the middle of a game because he got hurt. And what? It's Demps' fault the guy got hurt? Demps did the right thing. Demps did the right thing by not moving him at the deadline. Unless there's something else going on behind the scenes involving Dell Demps that I don't know about, that makes no sense. I mean, again, what were they hoping for? A reunited Lakers team. Were they hoping that Davis would not embarrass them by leaving the arena? Would they have been better off as a team if he had made that trade? No, you want to maximize your asset, right? It's the most important trade in the history of the franchise. Make sure you get as much as you possibly can for this guy. You don't get as much as you possibly can by negotiating with only one team. You need other buyers. You need the Celtics. You need the team that's got the number one pick overall. Demps did the right thing. What, were they not going to wait and see if they had a chance to get Zion? This is all Demps is doing? This guy got jammed. He deserved better. It's not his fault Davis left. It's Davis's fault Davis left. And by the way, Demps didn't want to trade Davis. Demps is not the one trying to get rid of Davis. Davis wants to leave. So it's a dumpster fire with a train wreck slammed right into it.
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
I agree, Alvin. Not Alvin Gentry's fault. And not Dell Demps' fault. And no, I don't have his back because he's a Big West guy. Although I'll always have his back because he's a Big West guy. It's not his fault Davis got hurt. And one more thing about that. They don't want to play Davis. Dell Demps doesn't want to play Davis. He knows Davis could get hurt. The NBA is making them play Davis. And taking a step back, man. The NBA is never boring, is it? Heading into the All-Star break, on a day when there are no games, it still leads the show. Crazy drama. NBA's never been better, on or off the floor. 1-800-636-8686. My man Arash makes his triumphant return to the jungle when we come back. Never a good look, fellas, when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You might think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it makes you look like a slob. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short. Just right. Shirts designed so well, GQ calls them, quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. I know, I wear them. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every guy can find the perfect shirt. Log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuckit in one of their over 35 retail locations nationwide. So stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt, untuckit.com. Your solution to perfecting casual, use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Back, as I said, breaking news, Dell Demps fired. What a mess with the Pelicans. More on that in a minute. Big day, Marquette grad Marcus Howard coming up in hour number two. And WWE tag team superstars, the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows will be in studio in the second hour. But right now we are joined by a columnist for the Los Angeles Times. He is a professor at USC. He is a Los Angeles legend. He is a longtime, very good friend of this program. Arash Markazi is my guest. Arash, brother, it is so good to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Good. It's good to be home. It's good to be back with you, Romy. It's been way too long, so I am so stoked. I kind of forgot this was a byproduct of me taking my dream job, and it's still kind of surreal to hear you say Los Angeles Times sports columnist. I have to pinch myself, but man, it's good to be back.
Arash, it is so good to have you on this show. Honestly, it is so good to hear your voice, and I want to reiterate that. I mean, you're in Charlotte for the NBA All-Star Weekend, and I'll get to that in a minute, but knowing you, knowing the love you have for this city, knowing the love you have for LA sports, knowing how you grew up in this market, what does it feel like to hear yourself introduced as a columnist for the Los Angeles Times?
It still doesn't feel real. I mean, so I read Jim Murray growing up. I knew I wasn't going to be a player. At some point in your life, you realize, like, your mom's 5 feet, your dad's 5'2". You're probably not going to be taller than 5'6". So I knew, if I was going to be in sports, I was going to do sports commentary or journalism. And so that was always the dream job. So I've worked at some amazing places. But when the opportunity came along to join the hometown paper, being a kid from Los Angeles, growing up in the 818 and getting the chance to cover these teams. First week on the job was at the Super Bowl, third week on the job here in Charlotte for the All-Star game. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Arash Markazi joining us. He's a columnist with the LA Times. Arash, you mentioned Jim Murray. Now, you're writing the page 2 column for the Times, and your first column ran on February 12th, and you called Linda, the wife of Jim Murray, and you mentioned that. What did she tell you, and then what was it like to hear that?
So I basically wanted to give her a heads up that my first column is going to run Tuesday, February 12th. You know, if you want to pick up a copy, or I can send you a copy, whatever. And she said, Arash, I have chills right now. And I said, why? What? She said, Jim's column, his first ever column for the Los Angeles Times, ran on February 12th, 1961. I said, you got to be kidding me. Like it was like written in the stars. And again, listen, I'm never going to be Jim Murray, but the fact that that happened, it's some things that, you know, are not just a coincidence. So that made me feel so happy. And again, to cultivate that friendship with her has been so great. So it's just, I'm on cloud nine right now.
Hey, listen, for those who don't know, also, Jim Murray was a Pulitzer Prize winner, a 14-time National Sports Writer of the Year, and you were a Murray Scholar and a member of the Jim Murray Memorial Foundation Board, so you get a chance to follow in his footsteps. Let me ask you this. What was a bigger highlight, the conversation that you had with Linda or tweeting about that conversation and having that tweet liked by Jack Youngblood?
Well, the Jack Youngblood thing, I mean, that was another guy that I grew up, you know, I mean, so, like, that's the coolest thing about this whole, you know, a lot of the stuff that we get to do, I guess, I mean, it's still surreal for me when a player comes up to me and he says that he saw me on TV or that he, like, read my column, because, like, and I really hope that I never lose that, like, that, like, wow, that is so cool that I'm talking to this person, or that, it's like, the fact that, like, Jack Youngblood, and when I took the job, Jack Youngblood said, thanks for all of the support you've given me over the years, and he congratulated me. I'm like, dude, you play with a broken leg. Like, thank you, you know?
Arash, listen, I can go one step better. Like, for instance, I'm older than you, and I know what that paper represents. I know what it's like to read that newspaper. I learned, like, as a kid, my dad taught me to read the box scores when I was in first grade. I would fight the old man for the LA Times sports page, every single morning. So when you mention Jim Murray, I think you can relate to this. When I think about the LA Times, I think about the amazing guys who came before you. I think about, like, Scott Osler. Scott Osler, back in the day, wrote the most amazing column. Mike Downey wrote an amazing column. Say what you want. I was always a big T.J. Simers guy. He wrote an unbelievable column. Alan Malamud. Whenever
That's
came over the
guys.
Table, Mudd was the only guy who had my back. Mudd had a .. Arash column. You know that. And his .. was Rome was wrong, Everett was more wrong. And Mudd told me how much heat he took for that. Hell, Bill Plaschke, man, our guy Plaschke, long before he was a TV star, was an LA Times guy. When you hear those names, what do you think?
The Alan Malamud one hits home because notes on a scorecard, you know, like when you're a kid, you have a short attention span. I love that column so much. So the column that I'm doing for Page Two is really kind of built off of him, just like notes after notes. And again, like, I love Los Angeles sports. I don't want to just do a column on, like, the Clippers or, like, the Rams. Like, I want to do it on, like, all the teams. So Mudd's notes column is what I've based my column on. And again, these are legends. So, I mean, if I could do just one-tenth of a job that they did, they'll be stoked. But, yeah, I mean, the names that you mentioned, I mean, so just putting my name, at least in terms of I've written now for, like, the Los Angeles Times. I mean, if you would have told me that when I was growing up in Sherman Oaks, I would have said, no way, you're crazy. But, I mean, again, this has been a dream come true for sure.
Hey, look, Arash, you and I are doing, like, 818 stuff, L.A. stuff. I haven't even gotten to L.A. sports yet. Like, when you say growing up in Sherman Oaks, man, you know, I played my Little League baseball at Sherman Oaks Little League. You know, and I just did that. Takes me back. Takes me back to the evenings at the Sportsman's Lodge once a year.
Yes.
And those little miniature screwdriver sets that they gave all of us kids. And my dad, my old man from Boston, would be like, yeah, that's not a toy. That's not a toy. And I'd think to myself, man, I wish it were. It sucks. What am I going to do with a bunch of mini screwdrivers? The Sportsman's Lodge. All right, so listen, Arash Markazi, my guest. One of the things that you did do in that first column was introduce yourself to the readers, but also lay down some of your thoughts on the L.A. sports scene. L.A. sports fans in particular take a lot of heat for being fair-weathered. I would argue they're good fans who just have lots of other options, and they'll take advantage of them rather than be blindly loyal to mediocrity. What do you make of all the L.A. fan bashing, and how fair is it?
So here's the thing, and I mentioned this in the column, sports is the only form of entertainment where having a discerning eye makes you a fickle fan. And it's like, no, listen, if you put a bad product on the field, it is not my civic duty to continue paying for that bad product. And a byproduct of this is that Los Angeles teams know that they have to put a good product on the field. And I would argue that that's why they go out and sign the best players, they sign the best coaches, because you can't put a bad product on the field or the court or whatnot and attract fans. And so you could say that's a fickle fan base. But you know what? If you're going to sell out for a bad product, where's the motivation for a team to pay more? No, listen, we're going to pack the house regardless of what crap you put on the field. So I've always respected Los Angeles sports fans for saying, no, listen, we will support you, but if we don't like the product on the field, just like if we don't like this movie or if we don't like this food at this like place we go to, we're not going to go. So, listen, this is not our right to pay for a bad product. So, again, I've always liked that about the Los Angeles fans.
Exactly right. Arash, this is why he has a column with the LA Times. Would you keep going to a crappy restaurant? No, of course not. Of course not. Arash, now, for instance, then there's the take on L.A. as a football town, and now we've got a team that went to the Super Bowl and another team that had a look at it. We've got two good football teams right now, and yet there's still this take that, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. The question is not Rams or Chargers. The point is neither will work because it's still a Raiders town. Not my take, but a take that I hear every single day. What do you do with that one?
So two things on that. The Oakland Raiders, and I really emphasize the Oakland Raiders, don't represent Los Angeles, Jim. They've been in existence for 60 years. They only spent 13 years in Los Angeles, and they moved away 25 years ago. So listen, it's not a Raiders town. The other thing is, there people are commentating on the TV figures in Los Angeles with the Super Bowl and the attendance. The Rams just moved back. We don't have this sort of connection with the Rams yet. I mean, imagine you broke up with your girlfriend, and then 21 years later, she comes back. At that point, you're married. You got two kids and a mortgage. And they want to pick up right where they left off. No, listen, I've moved on. I teach a class at USC. My kids, they all don't remember Los Angeles being, like, they don't remember a team being here. So they've all moved on. They're Packers fans, they're Steelers fans, Panthers fans. It's going to take a long time. When you're not in a market for 21 years, you lost all those fans. So it's not going to be like we are hardcore Los Angeles fans. It's going to take time. Listen, it might take 20 years before we are connected with the team. It would have helped if they won that Super Bowl. But it's going to take some time, whether it's 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. Because, again, there's not that connection with Los Angeles with the teams there right now.
Arash Markazi is a columnist with the LA Times. Arash, one more thing before you go. I mentioned that Dell Demps was fired reportedly this morning. Look, Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker. The Lakers want Anthony Davis as well. Do you expect him to ultimately end up with the Lakers, or is that simply not a foregone conclusion?
My guess is that he does go there because he said quite publicly that he wants to go there. And I'm not saying that the trade package that they have on the table or that will be on the table this summer is the best one. But if you're the Celtics and if you're some other team and he said, listen, you could trade for me if you want to, but I'm going to Los Angeles. I don't know if you want to trade, you know, let's just say two or three future first round picks and Jason Tatum and whatnot for a guy who's because he's going to leave. So I do think at the end of the day, whether it's this summer or 1 year from today, he will be here in Los Angeles, but it's just going to take some time. By the way, there was no trade. There was no chance that deal was going to happen at the trade deadline. They were kind of strong-armed. The team looks bad like when that happens, but I do think he comes to Los Angeles sooner rather than later.
Last thought, Arash, you mentioned your class. What kind of class do you teach? And, like, I remember what it was like when I came up, and then you were the next generation, and you came up, and now you're talking to and teaching the next generation. What's the class, and what's the next generation like?
So it's a sports commentary class, and, Jim, I'll tell you why it's so great. It's that at the beginning of class, I said, how many of you students know Jim McCurdy? No hands go up. I'm a little sad, but I get it. I give them a book of Jim's columns. These are his greatest Jim Murray columns. Linda Murray, his wife, comes into the class. She brings his Pulitzer. They get to pass around the Pulitzer, and they get to hold it. The last class we have, Steve Soboroff bought Jim Murray's typewriter. He brings in Jim Murray's typewriter. These kids don't even know what a typewriter is. They've never typed on a typewriter. They don't know what's happening.
Crazy.
They get to type on Jim Murray's typewriter. So it's a sports commentary class where I teach them how to do columns. And again, whether or not they want to be journalists or not, they get an appreciation for the job and what I do. And again, some of them have moved on to be sports journalists, but it's such a fun class for me. I love it, and I went to USC, and the fact that I get to go back to USC and teach this class is so cool.
Rush, you're home. You're home. You're home in L.A. You're
home
back
baby.
In the jungle. Man, you're home. A columnist for the Los Angeles Times, professor at USC, L.A. legend, good friend of the program. And, Rush, I got to think, and I don't want to be presumptuous, I got to think that you and I will be doing a lot more of this on this show.
I can't wait, Jimmy. We're so happy to hear that I was going to be on the show. So, please, let's do this more often.
My man, great to have you back, Rush. Congrats. And always reading the column. Arash Markazi, an L.A. legend and a good friend of the program. And I've missed him. He is such a good dude. I once, this is how good a dude Arash is. I once was brought back to UC Santa Barbara as a, quote, distinguished alumni. And the XR4TI was like, and I know this is a fact without having the conversation, they're probably like, dude, we probably should support him, right? Santa Barbara, man, that's a long drive on a weekend. And even though I'm using Alvy's voice, I'm not saying that it was Alvy who said it. I'm just speaking for the entire crew. They're like, yeah, man, we can make a weekend out of it, I guess. He's probably going to be pissed if we don't go. Never mind that it would have been fine if you guys didn't go. Anyway, Arash does not wait for an invite. Arash is like, oh, no, bro, I'm going. I'm going. I want to see you up at Santa Barbara. I want to see you where it started. I want to hear what you have to say. Arash just showed up. He made the trip and was there. Arash, brother, dude, to this day, brother, means the world to me. Also, notice, if you look on Twitter, there's a picture of Arash and I with our martinis. That is such a good dude and such a talented columnist. And we're talking about our L.A. roots. Welcome home, Arash. Top of the hour, Marquette grad Marcus Howard joins us. Guard, I should say, not grad. Freudian. Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows in studio. The Good Brothers, tag team superstars. They're in Cali. They knew they were going to be in Cali, so we set up a run to the house. Carl Anderson.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Such a blast talking LA sports, LA roots, LA media. Arash Markazi. And we'll be doing that again soon. Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. Be listening later on, and I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, Dell Demps got fired this morning. Listen, if they're firing him for what happened last night, they were going to fire him regardless. But let me tell you this. He did them right by not trading Anthony Davis. He did his job. He did the right thing. If they're firing him because of that, or if they're firing him because Davis left last night before the end of the game, they were going to fire this guy anyway. He did the right thing by not trading him. Davis did the wrong thing by leaving last night before the game was over. Neither one of those things are fireable offenses for the GM. It's not Dell Demps' fault that Davis doesn't want to be there. Don't tell me that, yeah, well, they built this thing a certain way and he doesn't want to be there. That's on him. I don't buy that. The guy wants out. He wants to be in LA, not New Orleans. He wants to run with LeBron James. They share the same agent. It's not Dell's fault. What was Dell supposed to do? Trade him at the deadline and get less than what they could have gotten for him? He did his job. Hey, Rome, firing Demps was a good basketball move. Signed the next team to sign Carmelo Anthony, Stephen PHX. What if that team's the Lakers? This says, Dear Dell Demps, scoreboard, signed Lakers Nation, Sean in Costa Mesa. War on topic and in market. Oh, it's not even got Laker fans saying, karma, karma. He got what he had coming to him. He got what he deserved. Man, no, he didn't. Laker fan, don't be butthurt. He did the right thing. If you were looking at what Irv was offering, would you have taken that trade? He did the right thing. He's not getting what he deserved because he didn't do that deal with the Lakers. He was smart not to do the deal with the Lakers. Like I said, maximize your return on your asset by maximizing your leverage. You will have a lot more leverage in the summertime. The only reason not to make that deal is risk of injury and risk of it all being a pain in the ass for the next 4 months. Yeah, the guy got hurt, but it's not that bad. Listen, I'm not saying that this guy was perfect at his job. I'm not saying that every move he made worked. He would tell you the same thing. They tried to build a team around Davis. They had injuries. It didn't work. But firing this guy right now and saying that it had anything to do with Davis leaving the arena is a joke. Woj tweeted, ownership's plan with a new GM will be continuing to push back on Anthony Davis's preferred trade scenarios or trade destinations. If they don't make sense for Pels, especially with a full year left on his contract, per sources. In other words, they're going to bring in a guy who's going to have the same tact and the same strategy. So why did you fire the guy? If you're going to bring in somebody who's going to have the same plan of attack, why did you fire the guy? Woj also tweeted, ownership was livid with an injured Anthony Davis leaving arena during Thursday night's game, sources say. Gail Benson is telling associates she wants an overhaul of Pelicans and a search for a GM to take command of Davis trade talks and the reshaping of team's future. If you're telling me that firing this guy had something to do with Davis leaving the arena last night, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Because the next GM is going to do the same thing. He didn't leave because of Dell Demps. firing this guy right now, and obviously it had something to do with Davis leaving, or you wouldn't have fired him the next morning. Firing him right now and trying to say it has something to do with Davis leaving the arena before the game was over is ridiculous. That's not on Demps. That's on Davis for leaving the game before the game was over. Little dysfunctional. That's not on Demps. That's on the guy who left. Not the guy who was the GM of the guy who left. The guy who left before the game was over. I would think that Davis would want that one back. It's a bad look. Hey, Jim. I recently canning him. He did everything right. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he did everything right. At the trade deadline, he did everything right. I'm not saying he did everything right. Dell Demps would not say he did everything right. I'm saying if you're firing him the morning after Anthony Davis walked out, that's stupid. That makes no sense. Dear Jim, turns out Dell Demps declining the Lakers' entire roster, engaging in bad faith negotiations, and leaking every single trade proposal to Woj might have actually been a bad idea. But at least he was king for a day, right? Brett from Bugahaw, bitter Laker honk. More me tying a dollar bill on a string and throwing it out into the Riv fairway tomorrow to try to get Cooch's cheap ass to chase it. You know what, Brett? I don't agree with the first half of that email, although I can respect it. That's like one of your only good emails you've ever sent. You have a good war. You got a pretty good body of your email. Demps did not do that thing wrong. Man, the Lakers got what they deserved. They really did. They got what they deserved. This is a guy who tried to force his way out of New Orleans and not only force a trade, but force a trade to the team that he wanted to go to. And not only force a trade and force a trade to a team that he wanted to go to, but force it when he wanted to go there. And then they got turned inside out by Dell Demps and they got worked and it was a bad look. It was embarrassing. If they're firing him right now, they were going to fire him anyway. And he still did his job. You know what would have been bad? Taking less than what you could have gotten for your most important player ever. That's what would have been bad. Deep down, he may have even known they were going to fire him. And he still did his job. Hey, Rome, I don't want to talk sports. Can you please just rehash the story of the valet crop dusting your sled again? Thanks, Lee in Vancouver. Yeah, I could. I don't think I will. Yeah, all right, in case you missed it. Yesterday, I told the story about how I used to be an owner slash investor in a restaurant in Hollywood called Geisha House. Good times, heady times. The restaurant was packed every single night. They were throwing off residual checks. I was making money. I always had a table. I felt important. I was a bag like that. One of those guys who's like, yeah, hey, I'm invested in that restaurant. Yo. Yeah, well, one of the valet guys who I guess technically worked for me since I was one of the owners put me in my place. You want humbling? Janet and I roll out in my luxury sled, dead of winter, Friday night. Go to the restaurant, freezing cold. I'm walking around like I own the place. Got myself a good table. Valet dude comes out. I want him to know that I'm one of the cool owners, one of the cool investors. I think I dropped that guy a $100 bill. I'm not even kidding. I wanted to be that guy. Like, look at me, man. I'm big time. I get my car. Janet, check the back seat for growler. This dude crop dusted me so badly. Crop dusted me in a restaurant that I was one of the investors in. A legitimate eyebrow singer. Like if Anthony Davis got behind the wheel of the car that night, he'd have no brow. Janet and I were opening up the windows, throwing up in the car. Paint peeling off the dash. And I guarantee there was some valet sitting there with a Benjamin in his back pocket, high-fiving the other guys, going, damn, man. Dude, we just roasted Rome. Yeah, man, you know he's one of the investors in the restaurant, right? Well, that's why I did it. Hate those guys, man. They're all D-bags. I hate his show and I hate him. Hey, Rome, tell me how my ass tastes. You already know, don't you? Nah, I'm out.
You're in a 5-minute...